ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। This song we just sung, as you all know, was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. He would sing it before every class he gave. Srila Prabhupada's classes ranged over a wide range of topics within the general, within the one topic of Krishna consciousness. But as we know, Srila Prabhupada was very cautious in not speaking publicly very often about very intimate affairs of Radha and Krishna. Rather, his classes were mainly concerned with philosophical topics that can give us the basis of understanding Krishna consciousness. Always speaking philosophy. Srila Prabhupada was always speaking philosophy. He didn't, in general, he didn't engage in telling long, drawn-out stories or pastimes. He was giving philosophy, point by point. Sometimes he would tell stories, but mostly to illustrate philosophical points that he was making. Briefly, he would tell stories. By singing this Jai Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, before each class, he indicated where this was all leading to. That everything Srila Prabhupada said and everything Srila Prabhupada did was meant to bring us toward Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And if we follow the path given by Srila Prabhupada, then we shall certainly attain that perfection which he has come to give us. What he has come to give us is what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to give us. All the acharyas come for the same purpose. When we say they come, that means that they're not really situated in this material world. We don't speak of ordinary people coming to this world. We're already stuck here since time immemorial. But the great acharyas are residents of the spiritual world, and they come here to take us back there. And they execute their mission according to the need of the particular circumstances that they preach in. But the purpose is the same: to awaken the serving propensity in the souls, conditioned souls of this material world, who have forgotten that serving propensity for Radha and Madhava. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is the founder of the Hare Krishna movement in the modern age. The Hare Krishna movement is eternal. It appears to manifest within a certain time, within a certain place, in a certain period. But it is eternal, because it is Lord Chaitanya's movement. And Gauranga Nritya Nitya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing is eternal. The Hare Krishna movement is meant for dancing. The famous German atheist, this Nietzsche, he sardonically said that I would believe in a God if he would dance. He was a brash atheist. Means a punch in your face kind of type. He wasn't very sophisticated in it. Shockingly atheistic. At least shocking to the theists. But he doesn't know that that's the only thing, that's the main thing that God does, is dance. And we also, we don't accept a God that doesn't dance. Krishna is dancing, and he comes as Gauranga to dance also. And the Krishna conscious movement is spread by chanting and dancing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur inaugurated this in the modern age. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had brought the Sankirtan from the spiritual world. Goloka Prema Dhanna Harinama Sankirtan, this Narottam Das Thakur certifies that this Harinam Sankirtan is the wealth of bliss, of love, of the spiritual world. However, it doesn't mean that all dancing is spiritual. Some years ago, about 20 years ago, there was a famous movie made in Hollywood, something about dancing, and it popularized disco dancing. This disco dancing, or there's some drugs people take called ecstasy, and then they dance all night, and they feel what they consider to be ecstasy. Now, that is not ecstasy. People feel a euphoria when they dance like that. But actual ecstasy is that ecstasy which does not end. It goes on all night and on and on and on. There's no end to it. And it doesn't decrease as the effect of the drug wanes, but it goes on increasing. Anandam buddhi vartanam. And even though people may have a euphoric feeling when they're dancing, especially if they're intoxicated, but in the background are all their fears, hatred, anger, and all other kinds of negative emotions. And that euphoria that they feel, that is actually, although it feels to them like great happiness, they have no experience of what actual happiness is. The actual ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, that doesn't even begin until one is free from lust, greed, anger, and so on. Which is why Srila Prabhupada spoke on what some people say a more basic platform. Because there's no pole vaulting into the Rasleela. Pole vaulting, you know, in sport, they have this pole, you stick it in the ground, you go very high. You can't just jump like a monkey into the Rasleela. You know that? The pole vault? That requires a certain qualification. In the words of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Madadi, Abhishta, Eshab, Nachare, Kishe, Pabe, Radha, Krishna. That unless we are free from lust, greed, anger, and so on, or as long as we are absorbed in these, then where is the question of attaining to Radha and Krishna? So Srila Prabhupada very carefully prepared his disciples for offering them to Radha and Krishna. And the system is that he will offer to his guru, who will offer to his guru, and like this, all the way up to Radha and Krishna. So we can just imagine that if we are to offer someone, here, I am offering you a servant, then that person should be fit. Just like if there's a traveling sannyasi coming to an ISKCON center, and the town president says, well, we have many new bhaktas we'd like to show you. And he shows them the new bhaktas. He brings in the new bhaktas. And they're all dirty and smelly. Their cloth is torn. They're chewing gum and they have a packet of cigarettes in their top pocket. They say, hey man, how are you? When they see the sannyasi. Well, you can call them new bhaktas, but they don't really have the symptoms of being new bhaktas. They don't really look like they're fit to be new bhaktas. So when we see people like that, you know, two odd socks and all holes in their clothes and smelly, you think, well, these people look pretty strange. Well, we can imagine that we look the same way to the pure devotee residents of the spiritual world. Even if one is a well-dressed gentleman with a nice suit and wearing, he's put cologne on so he doesn't smell as bad as he would otherwise. So people may think, well, it looks like a first-class gentleman, looks very good, very presentable. That word is there in English, presentable. But one is not presentable to the pure devotees, one is not presentable to Radha and Krishna unless he is free from lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, and madness. Even if one is very well-dressed in terms of clothing and well-groomed, but if one is not free from lust, greed, and anger, then to the residents of the spiritual world, he just looks like a vagabond. So that is the mercy of the pure devotees, that they pick up the vagabonds from the material world and get them ready to offer to Radha, prepare them for offering to Radha and Krishna. And practically, literally, Srila Prabhupada did this. We're giving the example of a vagabond, but in the case of Srila Prabhupada, it was not just an example, it was the preaching reality that he entered into. That the people he was dealing with were not just covered with lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, and madness, but also in many cases with several weeks of dirt caked on their bodies due to never taking bath, which was practically unimaginable. The preaching field that Srila Prabhupada entered into is unimaginable to the staid Vaishnavas of India. Even though many Vaishnavas accepted voluntary poverty, so it was not unusual to see a Vaishnav just dressed in some short off-white dress and looking very poor. They were poor, but they were not wild wild animals. Which practically, literally, Srila Prabhupada went among, the human beings that he went amongst were practically like, some of them were like wild animals. That before Srila Prabhupada formed ISKCON, he was living in a loft in the Bowery in New York City. And he was living with one young man who he was training in Krishna consciousness. But suddenly one day, completely unexpectedly, that young man started behaving wildly and savagely. And Srila Prabhupada was constrained to leave that apartment, never to go back, because he felt that that young man could kill him. Srila Prabhupada's endeavor was to make people fit for offering to Radha and Krishna. So he spoke that philosophy, which we need to hear, so that we can distinguish between spirit and matter, and gradually become free from the influence of Maya by developing our taste for serving Krishna. So this was foreseen by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who saw in the new way that the world was going on, that with the international travel was becoming a normal thing, that so intercontinental intercourse, that here is the opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness to the West. The British, and to a lesser extent the French, the Dutch, the Portuguese, and others had spread their influence all over the world. The Spanish, of course. Yeah. And they were these Western conquerors were very active in offering the gift of their higher knowledge to the civilizations that they had conquered. The Western conquerors presumed their civilization, their knowledge, and especially their religion to be axiomatically superior in all, superlatively superior to that of those they had conquered. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even though he was schooled in English and the Western value system, he understood the value of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So he foresaw counter proselytization, that the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will go back to the Western world through the same channels that the Western culture has come here. Oops. And as we well know, he predicted that the devotees from the Western countries will join with the Bengali devotees and embrace each other and together join in Sankirtan. So that seemed impossible because for various reasons it seemed impossible. One reason is that the Westerners, they weren't interested in listening to anything the Indians had to say. Although some earlier Westerners who had come to India were fascinated by Indian culture, later on the policy became to crush and suppress it, and to promote among the Indians that real civilization is the Western way of life. And actually, to a large extent, that endeavor, the fruit of that we are seeing now, that Indians, they like to wear Western clothes. Hindus? You said? Indian. In Indian. Oh, okay. Because there are plenty of non-Hindu Indians also. They like to speak the English language. They think it's very cultured to speak this English language. And now they're becoming even interested in Western-style food and all aspects of Western culture. They think it's everything Western is better. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur presented the culture of the spiritual world. For instance, when he was describing which foods that Mother Yashoda and Radharani are cooking for Krishna, he gave a long list, this Luchi Chini, Sharpudi, Ladu, Rashabali, so many, but he never said pizza or sliced bread and toast. And he specifically stated that Gora Bhakta Priyavesha Dadhana Tilak Tulasi Mala Shobhamana is favorable for cultivating bhakti to wear the kind of dress that is preferred by the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to be beautified by Tilak and Tulasi Mala. So he didn't say that it's favorable for bhakti to wear jeans and t-shirts. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a resident of the spiritual world, and he revealed the spiritual world within this material world, which is what all acharyas do. But specifically among the many contributions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is his revealing Sri Dhammayapur. That previously this was not this area of Mayapur, this was completely neglected. And people, everyone believed that the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in what is now in the area which is the present town of Navadvip. Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed the Dham, Navadvip Dham, by discovering the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was, of course, confirmed, and the specific spot indicated by Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed by his spiritual vision and by consulting many shastras, many, many places of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and previous avatars also within Navadvip Dham. Just as Rupa Goswami and other Goswami, Sanatana Goswami and others had 400 years previously at that time, revealed the forgotten places, the forgotten spots of Krishna's pastimes in Mathura Mandal, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur did so in Navadvipa Mandal. And just as Srila Rupa Goswami wrote his Mathura Mandal Parikrama, Mathura Mahatmya, the glories of Mathura. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, the glories of Navadvip Dham. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur personally resided he made his place of residence in this Dham, and wrote so many songs in glorification of performing bhajan, or performing Krishna consciousness within this Dham. He established the first temple at the Yogapit and worshipped Nimai with Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi there, and also worshipped Radha Madhava there, Gaur Vishnu Priya. These deities he worshipped there. Among the Among the activities he ordered Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to do, the first was to develop Mayapur Dham. Navadvip Dham is specifically Mayapur, which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did by developing new temples and so many facilities, and also supporting with archaeological, literary, historical, and geographical evidence the authenticity of Mayapur being the actual birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The endeavor was continued further by Srila Prabhupada, our own Srila Prabhupada, who fulfilled Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's dream of bringing Western devotees to chant and dance the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with the Bengali devotees. So there is a continuum between the activities of Bhaktivinoda Thakur through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, through our own most worshipable Srila Prabhupada. It is not simply a historical or religio-sociological continuum, but it is a continuum of intent and purpose to serve Radha Madhava, who have appeared in this land of Nadia as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is actually a vast subject, how Srila Prabhupada is the, he is the, just like the Bhagirath, who brought the Ganga, which was, it was being waited for generations, waiting to bring the Ganga to revive the expired forefathers, and eventually Bhagirath did it. So Srila Prabhupada did this by bringing it to the Western world. By bringing Krishna consciousness to the Western world. Actually, all the acharyas are like Maharaj Bhagirath, because they all bring the movement somewhat further. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur referred to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He compared him to Bhagirath, inasmuch as he brought that, he brought into human society that the nectar of Krishna consciousness, the Ganga that was missing, somehow the flow had become stopped. So actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur is he's the inaugurator of the Krishna consciousness movement in the modern world, and that is that flow of the Ganga, the nectar of Krishna consciousness that he's brought, that is still flowing. And that will continue to flow. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Bhaktivinoda Dhara Kokhano Ruddha Hoibena, the flow of Bhaktivinoda, which means the bliss of, or the pleasure of bhakti. It also means the teachings and the contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That will never be obstructed. That will never stop. That will go on. While we are glorifying Radha and Madhava each morning, while singing their names before class, we can remember also who are those persons who are bringing us, who have brought to us Radha and Madhava, and how by their mercy we can attain Radha Madhava. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please? There's a question. Give him the mic. He's asking about that drum.
Yeah.
Do you want to say it in the mic? Is there others who don't understand Russian who are here?
He spoke with one Bengali Brahmacharya, and they saw Harinam going on, and they saw they were playing this African jungle. And he asked him, do you like this drum? He said, no, because we are spreading Bengali culture, we are not spreading African culture. So what we are actually spreading? Are we spreading Bengali culture, or are we spreading Lord Chaitanya's culture? What is the difference between them?
Gaudiya, the term we use is Gaudiya, which is, it is a synonym for Bengali, But it doesn't mean, when we say Gaurya, we mean the Bengali spiritual culture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is, of course, a lot of Bengali culture which has got nothing to do with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Most Bengalis are, or at least half of Bengalis are, they're not devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're Shaktas, they worship Kali. As far as Bengali culture is concerned, in the recent ages, the Bengalis are very proud of their cinema directors like Satyajit Ray, who are, they're just mundane, that's all. So we are spreading, or we're supposed to be spreading Gaurya culture. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he refers to the Shankha Bhaje, Ghanta Bhaje, Madhura Mridanga Bhaje. Madhura, Madhura, Madhura. Yeah. And he refers to the Mridanga, not to the, whatever that thing is called, African drum. Madhur, the Mridanga is very sweet. This other drum is not very sweet. So there may be various instruments may be used in various preaching situations. That's not outside the scope of preaching Krishna consciousness. But I would suggest that at least in this dham, or the heart of the Gaurya world, that we stick to the, in our most essential activity of worship, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we stick to those instruments that he, we know he likes and he has brought to this world. It's not just a matter of making some music, but we should understand that Madanga and Karatel, they are the eternal paraphernalia of the Sankirtan movement. Anything else, please? Yeah, give them mic.
Some of the current friends, they are not following any principle, but when they heard that she is going to India, they asked her to bring them Tulsi Mala. She brings them Tulsi Mala.
First, give them Prabhupada's books right there in Russia. Let's start in the right way. Srila Prabhupada asked us to distribute his books, not to distribute Tulsi Malas. That will come later. Tulsi Mala is meant as a sign of our surrender to Krishna, not some fashion item. So tell them, yes, I'll bring you a Tulsi Mala, but first of all, you just take one set of Prabhupada's books. And then when you read them all, I'll give you the Tulsi Mala.